You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning. Good morning to you. Mike McNamara for Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here in your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. Halfway through May, kind of close. And we continue to live various states of the craziness that has been brought to us by the coronavirus, courtesy of the government of China. So don't forget to thank them in your prayers at night. Thank you. Yesterday I was talking about the whole experience of Watergate, right? And the experience of Watergate was, and I look back on Nixon's speech, right? Dick Nixon's not a crook. The American people need to know if their president's a crook. Dick Nixon's not a crook. And, right? And then you found out he's a crook. And it was this Chinese water torture of news story after news story after news story. And I said, you know, yesterday morning, wait till you begin to find out things that you don't expect, right? And lo and behold, whose name is among the unmaskers? It's Joe Biden. What? So, you know, how does that guy survive as a candidate? I mean, and let me tell you, that little piece of audio where George Stephanopoulos says, well, wait a minute, you were in a meeting in which this thing was discussed. And then in one of just an absolute awesome lie, Biden says, oh, I thought you had asked if I had anything to do with this prosecution. Which, you have to admit, for an old dude, pretty quick with that bullshit, right? Well, how would you have anything to do with his prosecution? He had nothing to, right? You were nowhere near, right, being elected during the period in which he was prosecuted. But it was a nice save. It was a nice save. So when you go down the list, you know, of things that Joe Biden's going to have to explain to undecided voters, right? And it's this thing is interesting because in other news yesterday relative to his political nomination, he appointed, there's now unity councils or something. that are going to meld the planks of what liberals have fought for, Bernie Sanders in particular and his supporters have fought for, and Joe Biden seeking to make peace and shore all of that up because they have said, hey, look, we're not going to go out and vote for that guy. And so he names AOC as the head of that committee. And so I was watching a commentary and I thought it was pretty good. Like, how does that play? How does that play in Peoria? How does that play in Pennsylvania, in swing states around the country who have a lot of jobs that depend on, you know, energy? How does that play? Because she's going to get up and burn it down, right? And when you invite her into the room, she sucks the air. She has Trump-like qualities because all she does is burn it down. And the media loves it, right? The media loves it. She's somehow or other kind of been in an obscure state since Bernie Sanders sort of went away. But she will reemerge at some point. So you look at Joe Biden's candidacy. How does he win? He's got the thing with his kid, right? He's got this rape charge that, by any standard of decency, this woman's allegation ought to be investigated. And by any standard of decency, let alone by the standard they applied to Brett Kavanaugh, this woman there's documented evidence, right, that something happened. There's documented evidence that something happened. But that's, again, standards immaterial because it doesn't support the narrative that I subscribe to. So again, the truth isn't important. It's my political leaning first, and then I adjust all those filters. Oh yeah, her, not so much. So you have that. And then now you have him. First, he was in the room in the meeting. Now he's the last person a week before the inauguration to say, I want to know who that is. Now, for those people, I want to talk about unmasking for a second. Who needs to unmask? Okay, so I've spoken about intelligence stuff on occasion. Because you have to learn about it when you're dealing with it and you're trying to understand it. And in my case, I got that education first in Iraq. And there's a guy named Dave Meadows who I used to ask. He's an intel officer. And I used to ask him, hey, Dave, explain this to me. And Dave would explain stuff to me. And so I'd see a report. So what I read, right, is a synopsis of daily reporting, right? Because obviously none of us have time to go through intel reports, okay? And so you read the daily, it's called the INTSUM, the intelligence summary, and they distill stuff for you. And I would see stuff that I didn't understand. So I'd see Dave cruising through because they had a little shed off the Combat Operations Center. Yeah. And they would take people in there and they would go in there and they would do stuff. And the rest of us weren't allowed in there, right? Probably so they could sleep and fuck off and stuff. But anyway, that's an intel thing. The rest of us don't understand it. But Dave's a good guy, and so I would buttonhole him and say, hey, can you explain this to me in this report? And what he taught me about intelligence was something, you know, on occasion what I've conveyed to you, and that is, you know, you collect data all the time, right? And so you may see a report But if the source, you know, has never reported, and the veracity of what the source says cannot be confirmed, then, you know, it goes into this pile right here. It's part of the white noise that we collect on a daily basis. Now, what happens is when you see white noise trend in a certain direction, it takes you to a certain place, right? So I mean, then he would explain the context of it. So I want to talk about unmasking. So who would need to know? So it's the people that need, right? The people that need are doing, looking at intelligence that need to know that stuff, right? If you're a political person, in no way, shape, or form do you need to know that kind of stuff. That's an intelligence community tool. And so when you see the list of people that sought to unmask Mike Flynn, my question is, why were some of those people granted that? The ambassador to Italy, the ambassador to, I think, Norway? I mean, what is that? Why would they need to know that? Because at the core of all this is a constitution and the rights of American citizens. And Mike Flynn be damned, what happens if it was you or me or somebody else? Not that they would give a shit about us. But what happens if they did? I mean, this whole thing is supposed to preserve the rights of we as individuals. And so when you look at that, and let alone, and I'll take this back to Joe Biden, the week, 8 days before the inauguration, Biden wants to know who this is in the conversation. Now, do you think it's because Joe Biden at that time is reading intelligence summaries? No. He's what, a week or two removed from the meeting on January 5th, and somehow or other it comes up, and now he wants to read it, and not hearing about it isn't good enough. So he's asking for it to be unmasked. Well, you know, need to know? So, I you know, you look at that kind of stuff, and it's pretty gross. It's pretty gross. And then you take the former president of the United States, Barack Obama's, you know, the rule of law, right, is at stake here. It's like, how in the fuck could that guy say that? Could those words come out of his mouth? The rule of law, are you kidding me? And so to me, at some point, I mean, Sally Yates, and you know, her predecessor Holder, Eric Holder. I mean, the Obama era attorney general to me was a gap position. That guy was a hack, and that's all he was. Because if you look at all of this, and at some point the legal people don't stand up in the meeting and say, hey, I think we should slow our roll on this shit, okay? Like, I know we think Trump is the scum of the earth, okay? And there's this dossier, but let me tell you what we know about it. None of it is substantiated, and it was paid for by the Clinton Committee. Re-election, the Clinton Election Committee. So for us to use that as the basis for anything puts you on not only slippery ground, all right, puts you on the most slippery of slopes ever. And I'm going to tell you, as a professional, I cannot condone that. I cannot condone that it be used as a basis for anything in FISA. Because to do that is a complete fraud. And what people were doing was simply pen whipping shit. And so that's pretty disturbing. This morning in the Wall Street Journal, there's an opinion piece. It's called The Michael Flynn Debauchery. The people who administered the American system lost trust in the system and debased our institutions. It's written by a guy named Dan Henniger. I just want to read you a couple little lines from it. And to me, that's how disturbing this is. Right? So he talks about Wall Street Journal, the disconnect between inside the Beltway and the rest of the country. And that's what 2016 was about. And you had the indignation. Well, he talks about the term inside the Beltway was coined by opinion writers from the Wall Street Journal. And he talked about the 2016 election was about more than Donald Trump. It was about that disconnect. And I've said that on this program before. The people especially in the center of this country are so sick and tired, right, of the people that get elected that say, we understand what you're going through, and then go to Washington, D.C., and then completely ignore what the people who elected them live through, their daily lives and whatnot. Many Americans then came to believe presidential elections were the one way they could send the Beltway a message. In 2016, we had an Earth to Beltway election whose message was about more than Donald Trump. Next year, or 4.5 years from now, Mr. Trump's presidency will pass into history. Left behind, there will be a permanent Washington establishment in which many Americans today have no trust, none. In 2017, the Flynn case wandered in and out of the news, but it always had a bad odor. What looked like a low-grade mistake by Mr. Flynn got built into a high-stakes prosecution with special counsel Robert Mueller's lawyers pressuring him with family and financial ruin unless he took a plea and helped them fry bigger fish in a Beltway-wide project, Donald Trump and Russian collusion. Last week, after U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Jensen examined the Flynn record at the request of the Attorney General, the U.S. Justice Department concluded that the abuse of Mr. Flynn's rights was so egregious that it dropped the case. What are Americans supposed to conclude when this event comes in the wake of Inspector General Michael Horowitz's embarrassing report of how senior officials at the FBI and Justice used foreign intelligence warrants to crush Carter Page, a Trump campaign functionary? Now remember, not only Carter Page, right, Papadopoulos, right, and then because of this investigation, and what's that wacky dude's name that's going to jail for perjury? And then you have Paul Manafort, who was in the news, right? They crawled up his ass, too, and now he's in jail for the rest of his life. All of that because of this. Before that, the public dutifully read endless columns of newspaper inches about the pursuit by James Comey's FBI of the manifestly preposterous Steele dossier. And then in parentheses, if this wasn't a conspiracy theory, the phrase has no meaning. Followed by Mr. Mueller's team of Beltway lawyers ransacking lives to put a thick volume of unproven collusion suspicions, then handed it off to Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee for more iterations of dragnet subpoenas, culminating in the wasted weeks of a Senate impeachment trial, and I might add, while the coronavirus event was spooling up. That had to happen. That trial had to happen. It could not be postponed. And it's all a bunch of bullshit. And the people like Schiff, people like Comey, they knew it was bullshit. That's what's staggering. They knew this stuff. Guys like Clapper and Brennan, they knew and testified under oath there was nothing there, yet they went on TV and they spun this lie for the American people, believing that the lie would be kept secret because nobody would dare, you know, declassify these documents. And this takes me back to my Watergate youth, right? When it just kept bleeding out and bleeding out and bleeding out. And they couldn't stop the hemorrhaging. And then on a day like yesterday, when you saw, oh, he was at the meeting, then all of a sudden you find out, not only was he at the meeting, he asked for the transcript to be unmasked for him so that he could read it. So hearing about it wasn't good enough. He himself, did he admit to that? No. So how does that dude survive? Now, do you think no other evidence is going to come out between now and whatever the Democrats do for a convention? At some point, isn't Bernie Sanders going to say, hey, first of all, this dude's dead on arrival. This dude's dead on arrival, which I think he already is. The article goes on. The opinion piece goes on. It has been quite a display of raw institutional firepower by the Beltway's best and brightest. One may ask, what didn't they know about the rule of law, and when did they stop knowing it? They became what they thought Mr. Trump was, subverters of the American system. And now we're watching it play out, right, in a very public way. Like Adam Schiff, like, good God, you know, the personification of what a liar looks like. John Brennan, here's what he said on TV, here's what he testified to. That is the definition of a liar. Yet they're, you know, being political people, it won't slow them down. Stand by for the book. The system was so disturbed by Trump's election. The system they so distrusted has held. Lawsuits were filed against Mr. Trump's policy initiatives. Courts at every federal level wrestled with competing interpretations of the law. Midterm elections returned political control of the House to the Democrats, as well as multiple governorships. For 3 years, the economy and employment boomed, for which Mr. Trump rightly took credit. Then the coronavirus pandemic put his leadership skills to a severe test. And again, the American people will pass judgment on this in the fall. After all of this, what's striking is the lack of remorse across the Washington establishment. Unapologetic arrogance on this scale suggests that unmaskings, intelligence abuses, and leaks are likely to return as off-the-book weapons against individuals disliked by the permanent bureaucracies. Read Deep State. In a telling comment on Justice's dismissal of the Flynn case, Mr. Comey tweeted, quote, career people, please stay because America needs you, close quote. Comey's careerism was the problem, right? That's his line. Comey's careerism was the problem. And then I'll add to that. They thought they knew better. They put their hand on the scale of justice. They're supposed to be public servants, following the law, preserving your rights, doing it by the numbers. And they did anything but that. So I don't know how Joe Biden survives. And again, you have not heard the last of the surprises. Trust me. And again, if this thing, you know, if this thing bobs and weaves like the Watergate thing did, and it will, and there's going to be even more surprises, because when you start putting the screws to some of these people, they're going to start talking. The article ends like this. Attorney General Barr, now being carpet bombed by the Beltway, deserves credit and support for pushing back against the idea that institutions with such enormous investigative and prosecutorial power can become instruments of not much more than political self-righteousness. Whether Mr. Barr's pushback is enough to clean up the place is another matter. U.S. Attorney John Durham's investigation of the origins of these events, while the Obama administration was still in office, changed last October from an administrative review to a criminal inquiry. Indictments and prosecutions would be a crude tool to right this ship, but maybe that's what it takes. To the inconsolable haters of the 45th president, keep hating if you want. That's anyone's right. But think about rejoining the system that protected the individual rights of every American before this presidency and will do so after he's gone. Yeah, Joe Biden. He's going to have a tough time. And I thought, let me just tell you this. I hate paying for news. Call me a product of my youth, but I hate paying for news. But I will tell you this. The Wall Street Journal is, dare I say, worth the money. So just keep your eyes out for when you can, you know, get 2 months for a dollar or something like that. And because there's some fantastic reporting and some great columnists, especially if you're conservative, if you're a liberal, I'm sure you'd vomit, but you might not even understand it. So, but it's certainly, I enjoy it on a daily basis. It's from Dave in Vacaville, entitled The Rule of Law. Good morning, Mac. When you have the media on your side, in parentheses, Obama, you can say anything you need. And I've said that before. What provides the top cover for this is a media that doesn't seek the truth. That's what provides the top cover for this. And even think about the unmasking of General Flynn. You have a columnist, David Ignatius of the Washington Post. Do reporters at the Post raise the issue of wiretapping, unmasking, and then revealing that to a reporter, which is a felony? We all know that, right? We've heard it enough. Does anybody raise that? I don't think anybody at the Post did. Does anybody asked about, you know, what was the basis for the FISA warrant? I don't think I remember reading that from the Washington Post. Which means process and the truth is not part of this. But it's supposed to be. I mean, in these United States where you have rights. You have rights. One other thing I want to say. I was watching a guy get interviewed yesterday. He's a gym owner in New Jersey. And said he's opening his gym. And he said, look, you're not going to do anything in my gym that you don't do in a supermarket. Okay? We've spaced out our machines. We've spaced out our weight benches. We've spaced out our treadmills. We've changed the configuration to maximize social distancing. Right? We have sanitizers, right, at every station. We have cleaners. We have people that walk around. There's only X number of people, you know, that will be allowed in the gym. You got to wear your face mask. You blah, 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 blah. And he said, and if you can do it in Home Depot, if you can do it in a supermarket where you're handling, you know, you're picking products up, you're putting them down and things like that, why can't you do it? Why can't we be trusted to do this in our gym? Because somebody says we can't? So it's going to be interesting. The rule of law, right, and the application of it. The heavy-handedness of governors acting as dictators. And business owners trying to make a living. And this whole idea of science. Now, if you look at states that have opened up, Florida and Georgia, is the world ending there? Not yet. What happens if Fauci and Burks are wrong? What happens? What happens if Sweden's right? That what's important is to adopt sustainable, to listen to experts, but you have to adopt things that are sustainable and you have to protect the most vulnerable. What happens if that's the appropriate course of action? Sustainability and protecting the weakest among us, which we didn't do. A piece I saw yesterday on the director of public health in Pennsylvania, she took her mother out. She took her mother out of a nursing home after she told everybody else they were perfectly safe, and after she copied the order in New York that said nursing homes had to take seniors that had tested positive for COVID-19. So she accelerated the introduction of the virus into those facilities. And in those facilities, I want to say there's like 2,700 people have died, but not her mother, because she took her mother out. Yeah, I don't think the American people are going to tolerate this shit much longer, to be honest with you. Right? I mean, and Southern California was in snap mode yesterday, and the director of public health, I want to say for Los Angeles, made comments that, you know, that California would be in this mode for another 3 months, and then spent yesterday walking that back. So anyway, the United States Marine Corps band makes today official. Good morning to you. Jeff Kenny, Tim Lynch, and Will Cosentini joins the three of us. So there'll be four of us today. And we're going to talk about former Secretary of the Navy, Jim Webb. We're going to talk about his letter to his op-ed piece that he wrote. And the op-ed is entitled, hold on, give me 1 second, The Future of the Marine Corps. So, yeah, former Secretary of the Navy. So that hit the streets, I want to say last Friday was when I saw it. I think he put it out on Thursday. And so we have kind of a roundtable discussion about that letter. So interesting stuff too. And Will is smart. And the four of us all go back to serving together in Quantico in the 1990s. So fun stuff. On a Thursday. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to every small business owner that's trying to get through the month to pay their bill so they don't go under. It's also dedicated to everybody out there that's gone without what's on the sixth paycheck. I mean, I don't even know how people are doing it. You know, I have no idea, you know. And so to those people, you know, everybody in the food, everybody in the restaurant industry, everybody in the bar industry, how are they doing it? And that's no small number of people across this country. And if this country doesn't get its economy moving, let me ask you this. What happens to the budgets of cities, especially big cities around the nation? Their sales tax stopped. What happens to their budget? Where's that money coming from? And why are the states asking the federal government for a bailout? Why don't they have the power to tax? Why don't the states raise taxes? Oh, don't want to do that. Let the federal government do it. Well, every state has the power to tax. So why is it the taxing? Why is it the federal authority that's got to bail the states out? They could tax. I don't really get that. Now, I could understand, right, if you want to go to the federal government and get a loan. I understand that. But do you have the ability to raise taxes? Why don't you raise taxes? So if this thing doesn't get going, we are going to have the mother of all overreactions. And if you look at different countries around the world that are coming out of this winter thaw, it's not the gloom and doom scenario that some are painting. It's the whole Chicken Little thing. So this is dedicated to everybody trying to get through it. Business owners, individuals, you know, God bless you. Hang in there. I have no idea how you're doing it. If you live paycheck to paycheck and now you're on your, you know, fifth paycheck into the third month of this shit, God bless you, man. God bless you. Yeah, but that was the wrong thing to play.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather in Marineland today. There's an email, though. Mac, I, too, question Joe Biden's ability to survive to the convention. And I'm one of those swing voters. I do not like Donald Trump, but I can recognize what he did for the economy, and it was good. And believe it or not, you swayed me a little bit with your narrative of, I don't really care if he's a choir boy or not. I just wanted to be a good president and fight for the country. Having said that, I'm open to voting for another candidate if I believe his vision takes the nation to a better place. But Joe Biden, good God, not much of a choice there, in my opinion. You know, and I think, you know, the undecideds across the country, I mean, they're in that position. And now AOC is going to be part of, is going to have a speaking part in his campaign. You know, he's not going to win the Midwest with that. So, anyway, interesting. Currently, cloudy in 63 in Quantico, Virginia. Partly sunny in 74 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny in 69 in 29 Palms. So, cooler temperatures in the southwest. At Camp Pendleton, partly sunny, 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cooled off. Dark cloudy in 65. Okinawa, home of Camp Butler, Camp Schwab, Futima Air Station, blah, 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 blah. Dark cloudy, 75. The Helmand Province, clear dark. And 79 in Afghanistan. And Ramadi, the hot spot on the map today. Late in the day, mostly sunny and 96 degrees. That's right. And just stretching out to get really hot. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is mostly cloudy and 65 degrees. Looking for a high of 72 beautiful degrees today, 74 tomorrow, and 76 on Saturday. That is awesome. All right, we'll take a break. Hold on. My vehicle commander sent me his weather today from when I was a company commander on 29 Palms. Here's the headline of the email. The commander will be a half a click away from my office today in Allentown, Pennsylvania. High of 72 with a little wind and maybe a shower or two. That's right. That's Fenton Harpster. Yeah. I remember when I met him. Lance Corporal Calhoun said, "Hey, sir, this is Harpster." I said, "Harpster?" He said, "Yep, yes, sir." And then Calhoun says, "Oh, it's better than that. It's Fenton Harpster." I said, "Why did your parents do that to you?" And then, you know, he said something like, "It's a fine name, sir." I said, "Yeah, it is. if you want to get made fun of there, Fenton." So, anyway, always good to see his emails. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders, that's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
60s protest music, man.
What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop.
What this song is about is a time in the nation's history when people learned that their government lied to them about Vietnam and a whole bunch of other shit. Things like the Pentagon Papers came out. The truth came out.
Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.
Listen to this.
The man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey,
and to me, what's most amazing in all of this is you have liberals who you would think would be so spring-loaded to defend people's rights, right? All they did was they wrote Comey narrative, right? That's all they did was write James Comey narrative. And, you know, and now... Exactly. What happened? You know? What happen, right? So anyway, we'll check the news. And then Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenney, and Will Cosentini. Yeah. And let me explain some relationships in all of this. So Jeff is prior enlisted, right? So Will is a Naval Academy guy. Tim, prior enlisted United States Navy corpsman. Me, I'm nobody, right? I joined the Marine Corps. I go, don't know any of them, and go to Quantico. Tim, he joins the Marine Corps. He doesn't know Will or Jeff, and he comes to Quantico. Will, Naval Academy guy, he goes, and he's in, you know, I can't remember which company, but he's in 3-8. Jeff gets commissioned, and he becomes a lieutenant in 3-8. Will is Jeff's XO as a lieutenant, right? And so then Will comes to the basic school. I meet Will because of a Naval Academy friend, and I think he was in 3-8 too with Will by the name of Scott Sobka. Scott is from New Jersey. He's a tough guy. And so I knew Scott, and when Will shows up at the basic school, he says, hey, he's a good guy. He's a smart guy, right? You should meet him. So I did, and, you know, we all worked together. And so that's how I meet Will. Jeff comes to the basic school to be an instructor. And then Will, who's now he's running what used to be known as schools demonstration troops, but when I was there, it was called EI Company. I don't know what it's called today. So he gets Jeff Kenney yanked down to be his weapons, you know, platoon commander or weapons section commander. And, I mean, these guys went all over the place, you know, supporting problems. And they supported IOC, and that's where I was. So that's how I meet Jeff. Jeff was, a first lieutenant platoon commander down at EI Company. So that's kind of the background on how all of us meet. And so you'll hear that here in a little bit. Top stories in Stars and Stripes. The world must be changing, because here's the top headline. Disneyland and new tattoos. Troops dream of post-coronavirus freedom in Japan and South Korea. So we're talking about new tattoos. We're talking about new tattoos. So there you have it. Life must be getting back to some form of normal. Couple stories in Stars and Stripes. Taliban attack leaves 5 civilians dead as Afghan military prepares to attack insurgents. Now, there was 2 attacks earlier in the week. One on a funeral. Tim Lynch says that was an ISIS attack. Tim knew the guy who was killed, who was the target of the attack. And then there was an attack in a hospital where patients were killed. Women, children, horrible. The Afghan military is now preparing to go back on the offensive. Headline, Taliban attack leaves 5 civilians dead as Afghan military prepares to attack. A Taliban truck bomb killed at least 5 civilians when it exploded near a military court in eastern Afghanistan on Thursday, continuing a series of bloody attacks that have put Afghanistan forces back on the offensive. 5 security officials and 15 civilians were also wounded by the blast in Gardez, the capital of Patika province, the Afghan Defense Ministry said in a statement. The area was crowded with civilians, a Interior Ministry spokesman said in a phone interview. The Taliban intended to attack the court building, but guards identified the explosive-laden truck before it reached the entrance, and the blast detonated early. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack. How does that happen? There's a dead man switch on the steering wheel. When the guy once he activates it, if he gets shot and his hands come off it, the thing explodes. At least that's how I've seen it done. Next, Japan lifts state of emergency ahead of schedule in most regions. Dateline Tokyo. Japan's prime minister has announced the end of the state of emergency for most regions in the country, but restrictions are being kept in place in Tokyo and seven other high-risk areas, including Osaka, Kyoto, and Hokkaido. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on Thursday lifted the measure ahead of schedule in 39 of 47 prefectures, effective immediately. Abe declared a month-long state of emergency April 7th in Tokyo and six other urban prefectures, later expanding it to the whole country on May, that would run through May 31st. With signs of the infection slowing, Abe is seeking to relax restrictions while balancing disease prevention and the state of the economy. What a novel idea. Maybe American governors and people in shit ought to take a look at that. From my favorite news, my website, Just the News, headline, DOD study raises tantalizing question. Does the flu shot increase vulnerability to coronavirus? What? I thought, how would that happen? How would that happen? All right, so that's a headline there. I'm not going to go into it because I don't have time. From USNI News, maritime standoff between China and Malaysia is winding down that saw American ships get involved in it. A standoff between China and Malaysia over potential natural gas and oil reserves beneath the South China Sea appears to be ending as research vessels from both nations moved away from each other following stepped up U.S. Navy presence in the last several weeks. On Tuesday, West Capella, the Panamanian flag drill ship hired by Malaysia's state-owned Petronas, completed its scheduled work in part of the South China Sea, also claimed by Vietnam and China, according to a report by Reuters. For several weeks, the West Capella was tailed by Chinese government-owned research vessel, and it gives a name which I can't pronounce, an armed Chinese Coast Guard and Chinese maritime militia vessels, Reuters also reported. To counter the implied threat posed by China's armed ships, the USS Gabriel Giffords, the USS Montgomery, the USNS Cesar Chavez conducted presence operations near the West Capella. In late April, the USS America, the USS Bunker Hill, the USS Barry sailed with the Royal Australian Navy frigate HMAS Parramatta in the same part of the South China Sea. There's no better signal of our support for free and open Indo-Pacific than positive and persistent U.S. naval engagement in the region, said Rear Admiral Fred Catcher, the commander of Expeditionary Strike Group 7, in a U.S. Navy release. So, yeah, I think that's the first time I recall reading that the United States has done presence operations in the vicinity of a flagship, right, that was doing work in the region. Now, somebody sent me an email the other day saying, Mac, when you have overlapping economic exclusion zones in the South China Sea, how is that adjudicated? There's normally some kind of exacto knife that comes out on a map and, you know, we say, okay, no, this legitimately overlaps. Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and they negotiate that. They negotiate that. Yeah. But when China extends, right, the 200-mile economic exclusion zone to 1,300 miles, yeah, that dog don't hunt, right? And it's been told as much. All right, Marine Corps Times. New Marine Littoral Regiment designed to fight in contested maritime environment coming to Hawaii. Now, the first Marine Littoral Regiment evidently is going to go to Okinawa. Right, so this is 3MAP configuring itself, right, to fight the Chinese. The Marine Corps is putting together, it's written by Sean Snow. The Marine Corps is putting together a new force in Hawaii called the Marine Littoral Regiment that can theoretically operate inside contested maritime environment and sink ships, according to Marine Corps Combat Development Command. It's part of the Commandant of the Marine Corps' plans to overhaul the Corps to conduct sea denial operations. Two regiments. But the whole Marine Corps will change to be a mirror image, evidently, of these two littoral regiments. That's the curious part of this. The Hawaii-based Littoral Regiment will be pieced together over the next 3 years, with most of the force being carved out of units already there. Subsequent Littoral Regiments may potentially be based in Guam and Japan. An infantry battalion and a battery aboard Marine Corps Base Hawaii will comprise the combat team, while the logistics unit will also hail from Hawaii. Sounds a lot like a MEU, doesn't it? Elements of an anti-air battalion will come from outside of Hawaii, according to McSittick. Sounds like a task-organized event. I thought we weren't doing that anymore. Weird. Early bird, top stories, and then you're going to hear a discussion of Secretary Webb's article. Now, if you haven't seen Secretary Webb's article, you can find it, I believe, at jimwebb.com. Jameswebb.com? Maybe not. My browser's not finding it. I'll give it a second. Top story in the early bird. Number one, no coronavirus co-payments for vets. Those have been waived. More service members' financial protections in the latest emergency spending plan proposed by Democrats, which has a little bit of everything in case you haven't seen it. Number two, U.S. warships support Malaysia against China pressure in the South China Sea. And again, that is a one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. Okay. This article is actually in the Wall Street Journal. U.S. officials have accused China of coercing smaller countries out of developing offshore resources, Navy officials said. And these operations show America's commitment to the region and the Navy's capability. And then there's a diagram of territorial claims. And, I mean, honestly, you see Chinese territorial claims, and it's hilarious. Chinese Coast Guard ships and fishing militia ships escorted the Chinese survey vessel, which at one point was as close as 8.5 nautical miles from the West Capella, analysis found. The survey vessel, called Haiyang Dizhi 8, was no stranger to security officials in the region. Last year, it was at the center of a month-long maritime standoff with Vietnam over an offshore drilling project that Hanoi had authorized and Beijing wanted stopped. So what the Chinese do is when you're going to do something that they don't want you to do, they send this ship under the guise of doing maritime research, and a whole series of both Chinese Navy and then fishing vessel, quote-unquote fishing vessels that are actually Chinese Navy. And these are the vessels that sunk a Vietnamese ship not too long ago. Rammed it and sunk it. Rammed it. Yeah. Like rammed as in crashed it into another vessel? Yeah, that's the Chinese. So, in my recollection, what's significant about this is this is the first time I recall reading that the United States has done that. Number three, in Guam, the aircraft carrier Roosevelt is still battling the coronavirus. Now, what's the takeaway, right? What's the takeaway from this story? Don't know, because it's a New York Times story. So take it for what it's worth. First paragraph, a sailor infected with the coronavirus was quickly whisked off the ship, which is docked in Guam as Navy officials prepared for the vessel to deploy. So somebody else got it. Now again, the story of the Roosevelt is 4,800 got it. I want to say less than 20 were hospitalized, less than 10 were in the ICU, and one fatality out of 5,000. Okay. Article number four in the top five, special operations using artificial intelligence and personality traits to recruit and select. Yeah, it all gets better with artificial intelligence. They're going to pick the right people. Nice. And the fifth story is a sad story. Colonel Tom Falzerano, commander of the 21st Space Wing at Peterson Air Force Base, I believe I met his wife a couple months ago, found dead in his home, believed to be of natural causes, at Peterson Air Force Base, which is the Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. He got the Air Force Academy on one side, the mountain side, and on the valley side, you have Peterson Air Force Base. So thoughts and prayers with his family. We will take a break. When we come back, you'll hear Lynch, Kenny, and Vito. Yeah. As All Marine Radio rolls along on a Thursday. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. You'll enjoy it. As we are all longtime friends, and Will's a smart guy. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.